News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
As you all know by now, the AstraZeneca vaccine has been restricted to over 60s and the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been paused amid concerns around a rare blood clotting side effect. So how safe are the vaccines and what's the process of getting them authorised? Well, we're joined by Dr. Donal O'Connor, Senior Medical Officer with the Health Products Regulatory Authority. Donal, thank you for coming into it. Just start by telling us what exactly it is you do at the Health Products Regulatory Authority.
Good morning, Shane, and thank you. Yeah, I think it might be helpful to set out what the role and remit of a regulator is within a vaccine campaign and indeed for safety medicines in general. Yeah, so we're a regulator and we work not in isolation but with our partners throughout Europe, and we feed scientific experts into all the committees of the European Medicines Agency, the EMA, who license these COVID-19 vaccines. And these vaccines can only get a license, they can only be approved and to be available as an option for the other decision makers in the public health system if they've met and indeed exceeded exceptionally high standards showing that they're effective, safe and of exceptionally high quality. But our role doesn't actually end there, and underpinned at all times by safety and our mission to protect public safety, we have to continually monitor these vaccines, because we expected that when they roll out into mass vaccination campaigns with hundreds and thousands and millions, that it's possible that some very rare or unexpected possible side effects might emerge. There were huge clinical trials performed to underpin the safety of these vaccines, some of the largest ever performed and assessed. So we have a very good handle and understanding about how safe and indeed effective the vaccines are. But it's only when you roll out into the millions that you might see what we've seen in the last couple of weeks emerge. But I'd like to reassure maybe your listeners that that's actually planned for. We expect, and indeed we actually communicated, that this is something that might happen. Now, not this particular event, but at a very rare event that you couldn't pick up if you only study 10, 20,000 people. But when you get into the millions, you might.
You
so
start.
It is an example of the system actually working, what's happened recently in our investigation on AstraZeneca.
But we, as you say, we have got those side effects and the blood clotting side effect. How worried should people be in relation to that?
Sure, I think it's important maybe to differentiate the specific type of clotting syndrome that was the focus of this review and what we might call the normal or typical clots, because there is understandably plenty of confusion and concern out there, not just among the public. I mean, it's confusing for doctors like myself at times. So the focus of this review was an extremely small number, but of a very complicated and complex syndrome where you had serious blood clots, sometimes in quite unusual parts of the body, like veins draining the brain and indeed the blood vessels in the bowel, but occurring counterintuitively with low platelets. They're the very small little pale cells in your blood that actually protect you from bleeding. So that was felt, and it's not completely proven, and the actual mechanism still needs to be worked out, but it was felt that it was plausible that the immune system was causing this. And I think that's important, because the vast majority of blood clots you might hear of, clots in the leg, clots in the lung, when people think of long haul flights or oral contraceptive pill, that's not what we're talking about. We can assure people that there is no indication that those type of, the vast majority of clots are in any way associated with the vaccine, or indeed are happening at a higher frequency than we would expect in normal times.
Okay, so what's the message to someone who's listening this morning and saying, look, I'm in that, for example, I'm in that 60 to 70 age group. I'm kind of fearful of taking this vaccine. And what about those who have already got the first dose of AstraZeneca? Is there a message you can give to them this morning?
Sure, yeah, we can certainly give some reassurance. So we look at the vaccines, I suppose, in totality of the data we have, and we provide that up-to-date information to our other decision makers, such as the immunisation advisory committees in Ireland and around Europe, because they have other factors that they need to take into account, such as the impact of the actual disease, COVID, which we shouldn't forget is obviously a very serious disease with a very high hospitalisation and fatality rate in the older age groups. And they have to use other information like the impact of COVID, the choice of alternatives. But so we can't state that overall the benefits far outweigh risks. And I think it would give some reassurance to people who are in that over 60 category. If they want to think about risk, and I know it's hard when we talk about big numbers, but if you talk about people over 60 who actually have a COVID infection, their risk of dying from COVID compared to this very rare but, you know, extremely rare, you know, possible risk of dying from a blood clot, it's in the order of about 15,000 times greater, your risk of dying from COVID.
Okay.
And
all
indeed,
right,
in people who have already received their first dose, if they haven't had one of these very unusual or rare special side effects, then if it's recommended for them to get their second dose, then I would encourage people to go and get the vaccine that's recommended to them.
Final question, Dolan, just very briefly, and look, it might be outside your bailiwick, so feel free to sidestep this if you wish. This idea we should give one dose of the vaccine to more of the population and delay the time between first and second dose. Do you have a view on that?
Well, we have part of you, and I think it's important that the regulator has a little bit of separation from the other independent specialists who also make the decisions, because they have other factors to consider, and they're the specialists really. Say, for example, in NIAC, there's a range of clinical expertise and public health and statistics specialists. So we can say that the vaccines have been demonstrated to have really high effectiveness in the clinical trials based on how they're scheduled, so two doses. But there is data, and I mean, in the real world, people have to make use of data showing effectiveness when you only use one dose. And also, there is aspects to consider that go beyond the regulator about trying to get as much coverage as possible. Now, there are some dedicated studies to show, can you mix and match, for example, vaccines, but the results from those are probably a couple of months away. They're being undertaken in the UK.
It's a watching brief on
that. It's a watching brief, yes.
Okay, Dr. Donal O'Connor, Senior Medical Officer with the Health Products Regulatory Authority. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast.